Good evening. I think I need to go back through and introduce myself. I've been gone so much lately. If you don't mind, I know we've had a little prayer time. I just want to open up word in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Father, we thank you so much for this evening, for you giving us health to be able to come here tonight. For giving us such beautiful weather, even in the midst of winter. And Lord, I just want to ask for your overruling power on this message tonight, Lord, that you would speak to my heart and show me the words to say, and that your word would go forth. Whatever message you want each of these people to hear, that it would be from you and you alone. We'll give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the last few weeks, there's been a topic that the Lord has laid on my mind. And the way he's laid it on my mind is that he saw fit to start teaching me this lesson myself. Or he taught me. And so, I was thinking about a verse recently. It said that the Lord comforts us so that we can in turn comfort other people. And so, my hope is that whatever the purpose the Lord has in this message, that it would come across, but that hopefully that the comfort that the Lord gave me by teaching me this lesson, that maybe there's someone out there who can equally benefit from the Lord's comfort. As children, growing up, you always picture, the playground across the street, traffic going both ways. And you walk up to it, you got your father next to you. And you go up and you're about ready to just go charging across the street. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, car goes by. And you're just absolutely terrified. Maybe you're not. Some kids don't even notice. But the father reaches down his hand, offering it to the child. And the child, in turn, has that choice right there, of just simply knowing his dad has everything under control, reaching up that little tiny hand, grabbing his dad, and all of a sudden he knows he's absolutely 100% safe. That's the picture that comes to my mind with trust, something my dad once told me and something I've remembered. And tonight I come before you and I want to convince you all, and I want to learn myself to trust God, to trust Him more fully. Because I was convicted about some areas in my own life where I was not trusting Him. So, for a start, I'd like to show how God can be trusted regardless of anything. There's going to be a lot of different verses I'm going to share tonight, so you don't have to feel like you have to follow through all of them if you do not want to. But I'm going to try to go through them quickly so I can make it all the way through this the different verses I have. First one is I'd like to turn to Genesis 3, verse 1. There's many challenges to truth, in particular God's truth. And one of the first challenges we see right off from the start, right after creation, Garden of Eden, a place of perfection, and the most cunning animal, or beast rather, that the Lord created, came to Eve, and he said to her, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And moving to verse 4. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.'" From the very start, that cunning serpent, the devil, challenged God's truth and sought to make the human race, each of us, God's children, doubt the Lord's truth. And if we go throughout our own lives, I think we can see a lot of clear examples of times where Satan was just gnawing at us, trying to doubt the goodness, the truth, and the reality of what the Lord has to say. But that's not the only attack against truth. There's a lot of people out there who would say, based on science, based on philosophy, based on their superior knowledge that, oh, it's impossible what God says. This doesn't line up with what God says. Therefore, God must not be true. Romans 3, 3 and 4. Nicely combats this. And it says, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." Even though every other person in this universe firmly swore that the Lord our God was a liar, that the things that he said were not true, even so, the creator, the originator, the Alpha and the Omega would still be found true because he was the one who created this world. He was the one who created truth. And lastly, perhaps there could be an argument for more things that go against truth, but these three spoke to me, the last one being myself and each one of us. I think for myself, I speak it right now. I question God's truth many times. When I say, I am too weak for God to use me, I doubt not myself, but the power of God to be able to work in me and through me. When I say of an event or of a prayer or of something that maybe doesn't have to happen, but maybe we really want it to, regardless, I say it's impossible. There's no way this could happen. I am just defining God, putting him in a box, and questioning his truth. And another one, God loves me, but he couldn't possibly like me, or he couldn't possibly give me these good things that I do not deserve. After all, I worked really hard, but then I spent this time doing some other activity when I knew I should have been working, or I was on the right road, I was doing well, but then I fell. I know then in my heart, or I feel in my heart, I don't deserve the Lord's grace. I don't deserve that he would come to my aid and help me or give me all the benefits and gifts that he gives. And yet when I say, how could he love me or even like me when I fail? I'm doubting the truth of the promises that the Lord God has very clearly given us in his scripture. Luke 1, 37. It says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." I wish I had time to go through each of these and clearly rebut the Satan's challenges, other people's challenges, or even my own challenges against the Lord, but that's not really my goal tonight. My goal is just to state forth, here are some challenges I see against God's truth. They are false. They are wrong. We go to the fact that I declare tonight that God to be absolutely true. And that is an absolute statement. Malachi 3:6 says this same, I believe, what backs up this statement. "For I am the Lord, I do not change." We have a God who has never changed since before creation. That is absolute. There is absolute truth because it all starts with God. All truth begins with God and comes down because God is an unchangeable, I don't mean this irreverently, point. Cannot change, cannot be altered, a starting point from which all truth originates. Because of the consistency in the Lord's character and because of the unchangeableness of our Lord, there is real truth, and there is absolute truth. Revelations 1:8 also, I believe, states this fact. Revelations 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Not only do we have the unchangeableness of God, but we have the truth that we have God as our creator of everything, and we have the eternality of God. Eternal existence. God would definitely know a thing or two more than we would. From this point of God and His truth, I must ask you to take by faith. If you do not believe that God to be true, if you do not believe that what He says to be true, I admit that none of the points I make from here on out will mean much. But I'm going on the belief that I know that He is true, and I believe that you all believe He is true. If you do not, come talk to me, and I hope you will change your mind. But from the truth of God, I think we can draw that the Bible is completely true. Because the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, very familiar. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the Word of God, directed its writing and creation, and kept it throughout history. John 17:17. I warned you, there's a lot of switching around, so like I said, don't feel like you have to follow. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth." This is Jesus talking. "Your word is truth." So there we have even the words of God declaring to us the truth in the words of God. Matthew 24:35. Matthew 24:35, and it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." We have the promise of God first of Himself, and then that promise of truth moves down into His Word. We can take it that that God's Word is absolutely true. From my mechanical engineering background, I think back to mathematics, to proofs, and not in every case, but if you have two, depending on how it's arranged, how you arrange the equation, if you have two things that are absolutely true and put together in the right sequence, you can prove a third thing to be true. We know by faith that God is true. We know by God's word that His word is true. Therefore, I propose to you that we know by these two facts that God's promises in God's word are true. And this is vitally important that we understand deep down and are willing to base our whole life off of it. You know, doubt is an awful thing. And sometimes, against God's truth, I am still led to ask the question, am I, in my perfection, able to trust God's truth? And let me explain that phrase maybe to make sure you understand where I'm going. Not can I, but like how? Is it possible that an imperfect being like myself can really trust God? After all, doesn't my inability keep me from trusting Him? I know I have felt that it does sometimes. I look at my past, and I see all the times where I did not trust God. And I have regrets of those. Or I look now, and in a situation in particular where it seems so hard, so impossible, that how could it come true? How could what God says be true? Or I want to believe it, I really do. But I don't know if I can. I don't know if my faith is enough. The current unbelief or the future, I don't know if I will be able to. Maybe all the times in the past, maybe they were indicators that in the future, when I try to trust God, what if I don't have the strength to trust Him? Because after all, I am so imperfect. I am so weak. If you wouldn't mind turning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of what of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is Paul's challenge to forget the past failures. Forget the times where you were not able to believe or chose not to believe. Forget even your current situation where maybe you feel like the situation is a little too hard, too impossible for you to believe. And strive on ahead for the upward calling of Christ. I put forth to you now that faith is a choice. You look through the Bible, every situation I can think of, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not saying if you do this, then you can believe. Or if you try hard enough, then you can believe. It just says believe. It gives you the absolute option of if you want to, if you choose to, you can believe. Believing, trusting, is a simple choice, and I think it has a few different sections to it. Trusting in God's truth requires that we first must reject the lies. Reject the lies that we are told first by Satan. Remember that first section, the challenges to God's truth? What were the three things? There was Satan challenges God's truth, other people challenge God's truth, and I sometimes challenge God's truth. We must reject the lies that Satan tells us that challenge God's truth. When other people tell us things that do not match up with God's word, no matter how intelligent they are, no matter how convincing they are, if it does not line up with what the standard of absolute truth is, the Bible, we must reject it. And lastly, I must reject when my flesh says, I can't. I can. I can because of Christ. You see, after all, it never was about my ability. It never was in salvation, and it's not now. My ability even to trust in God is based not on my power, my strength, my holiness. It's based off of the truth and perfection and ability of God, of Jesus Christ. If you're still in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I take that as a promise. I take that as a challenge to anyone who says it's impossible. No, it is possible. It is possible by Christ who strengthens me. So first, I said truth is a faith and truth is a choice. So we must first reject the lies. Second, we must believe the truth. How do we know what truth is? Look for it in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God after all. It is God's perfect truth. And there are many promises in the Word of God. You want to know what truth is? Find it. You can find many, many promises in the Word of God. And next, act upon it. You know, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what inside says, oh, you're unable, you're too weak, you don't really believe, what you act upon, what you respond to, is what you believe. Even if you have to go against all the feelings inside of you and follow the Word of God, and even though you feel totally inadequate in doing so, if you are following God's truth, that is what you're believing in, because you're believing that God's truth is stronger, is mightier than even the feelings, the inadequacies, and all the things going on inside of you. Your actions show your beliefs. And then lastly, this one, at least from a personal standpoint, is often quite hard. Leave our doubt with the Lord. Even in doing what is right, even in following God's truth, we may feel those deep down hidden doubts, fears of wonders of, am I really trusting in God? Doubt is fear. But something interesting I was thinking about is doubt is just a feeling. It's not truth. What you feel inside doesn't make it true. One passage that I find very encouraging in Mark chapter 9. Verse 21 and following says, is a story. Jesus, and I believe this is the time right after Jesus came back down from the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe that's correct. I do not remember for sure, but you have a man here, and it says in the story, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This man was like, if you can, Jesus, have compassion, do something. This man's response right here is very key for me, and I believe for us all. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The fact of the matter is that we may not be free of unbelief in our following after God, but sometimes it's not the what we feel, it's not the anything except that we must just cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't even know if I can trust, but I believe. I know your truth. I believe. Please help my unbelief. And leave that unbelief with God, and He will work on it. Trusting and faith are actually based on very, very sound evidence. Faith isn't just a whimsical thought. There's so much intellectual even backing for what we believe. But are we willing to trust the source of that evidence? That's the real question in belief. Are we willing to trust God as the source of all that we believe? I hope that you are, and I hope that I am. And one of the most encouraging things to me that I've come to appreciate about our Lord is all the promises that He has given us, which I hope that the Lord has showed you today that they can fully be relied on, they can fully be trusted on, regardless of experience or thought or doubt. And this is not even a millionth of a comprehensive list, but I have just a couple of the promises of God that He has given to us that I'd like to look at as a more of a reminder of what we can believe in, and that there are so many more promises that if we seek out what they are, these are truths we can base our life on. God promises that for the one who believes in Christ, his sin is removed and forgotten. Psalms 103:11-13 bears that in mind. And it says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." God promises not only for the one who believes the removal of their sin and their guilt, but also that as far as the east is from the west, he's removed it from you. And he will never again bring that sin to your account because the Lord Jesus, our Savior, paid for it. For God to bring that sin back and accuse you of it again would be God saying that Christ's work was inadequate. Next, this one means a lot to me, and this verse has recently been of great encouragement to me. God likes us. God has his favor pointed at us. Jeremiah 29. What an encouraging verse this is. Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, "For I know," this is God speaking, by the way, "for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." This was spoken to the Jews as they were about to be punished by going into captivity. And yet the Lord said, even in sending them to captivity, that his will towards them was good, that he wanted a future for them. He wanted peace and a hope for them. This is the unchangeable God we're looking at, who deals with us the same way, whether it be in disciplining us for our faults and our sins, or even just the outright giving of his love. He has a hope. He wants hope for us. He has a future for us. He promises he will never leave or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5-6. And that says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We know also from God's word, we have his promise that God answers our prayers. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," anything, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. God hears our prayers and he answers. It may not be in the way we expect, but he answers, and he answers with a good will towards us for our good. Another meaningful one, especially as a young man growing up and trying to find my identity of who I am, what do I base who I am off of? This passage in 2 Corinthians 3 showed the answer to where I should find my sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, there's a couple verses in the previous chapter which talk about how who is sufficient for the Lord's ministry of sharing his word with others and shining the light of example before anyone. And it comes to the conclusion, well, no one. But in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. And it goes on. Our sufficiency, who we are, our adequacy, another version says, is based on who the Lord Jesus Christ is, not on us. In Christ, as his children, he gives us a whole new life to where no longer anything we do is based just on ourselves, just on our power. It's based on the Lord Jesus' power when he works through us by his Spirit. And he gives us sufficiency before Christ, and he enables us in his work to do what he wants us to do. We have the promise also, and there's only one more after this, of the escape, or rather an escape to be provided from temptation. Very, very commonly quoted verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And lastly, but definitely not least, God promises us eternal security in the salvation his Son has provided. John 10 bears this truth out. Verse 28 and 29. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The ultimate power of our Lord Jesus and God the Father to be able to protect his children from all attack, from the devil, and that once a person has known Christ as his Savior, has put his trust in him, has all his sins cleansed because of the Lord Jesus, he has a secure position in Christ and a secure place in a eternal glory with the Lord in heaven. God's truth is absolute. Though Satan, people, and ourselves challenge it, God remains true, and his word is true because of him. He's provided us with many promises enough to live our whole lives based on them. And so when we go and look at ourselves and our inability, though we find ourselves inadequate to even trust in the Lord Jesus, he has allowed us the simple choice of saying, I believe. And I know that the Lord Jesus will give us the strength to just have that simple faith, as small as a mustard seed even, to say, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And I've been finding these promises and writing them down and putting them on note cards that I can carry around with me, different key promises that the Lord has given that help me against the specific things I deal with. And being able to look at what God has to say to me and saying, here is truth, is so freeing. May the Lord help us to believe His truth and to live by His truth in all of our lives. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Father in heaven, we thank you for, once again, such a beautiful night. We thank you for each one of your promises which you have given to us, and for the hope of eternal life and the cleansing salvation your Son has given. We want you to just give you the glory for it, and we seek to trust you, Lord, leaving behind the past and seeking the upper calling of Christ. And we ask that you would enable us to be able to trust you more fully in this coming year. And as Jonathan spoke on, that we'd start to, that you'd work these changes in us, changes that maybe we cannot imagine, changes we cannot bring about by ourselves. But as we trust you, we know you will do great things. And even if it may not be what we expect, Lord, we look forward to what you will provide. Bless each one here as they go home. Provide them with safety and health and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.